Picture half a million people worked literally to death on Caribbean sugar plantations, suddenly transforming themselves into an army that would defeat Napoleon's forces and establish the world's first Black Republic. This isn't fiction. It's the Haitian Revolution, a world historical event that mainstream narratives have spent centuries trying to forget. When Nelson Mandela sat in his prison cell on Robben Island, he specifically requested one book, C.L.R. James's The Black Jacobins. Malcolm X carried it. Angela Davis cited it as foundational. Why? Because this isn't just history. It's proof that those society deems powerless can seize their own destiny and reshape the world. Between 1791 and 1804, enslaved people in San Domingo, today's Haiti, didn't wait for freedom to be granted. They took it, defeating three European empires in the process and sending shockwaves through every slave society in the Americas. San Domingo generated more wealth than all 13 American colonies combined. Yet this prosperity rested on a foundation of calculated brutality. The colony's sugar, coffee, and indigo plantations produced two-thirds of France's overseas trade, fueling European capitalism, while half a million enslaved people died faster than they could reproduce. Think about that. Conditions so horrific that death rates exceeded birth rates, requiring constant importation of new captives. Colonial society was fracturing long before revolution erupted. Wealthy planters craved autonomy from France. Poor whites compensated for poverty with fanatical racism. Free people of color, often educated, wealthy, and slaveholding themselves, faced absurd restrictions despite their property. They couldn't wear European clothes or use monsieur. By 1789, they nearly equaled whites in number and owned one-third of plantation property, yet remained legally inferior. The transatlantic slave trade turned African conflicts into catastrophic wars as European demand incentivized mass kidnapping. Survivors faced a system designed to break their spirit, though the Code Noir supposedly regulated treatment. Yet humanity persisted. Some fled to mountain communities. Others, like Macandal, organized poison plots. Revolutionary ideas circulated. The American Revolution proved colonies could rebel. When the French Revolution erupted in 1789, declaring universal liberty and equality, it sent shockwaves through San Domingo. Did these rights apply to colonies? To enslaved people? The ambiguity created space for competing claims that would soon tear everything apart. On August 22, 1791, enslaved people gathered at Bois Caiman for a ceremony blending voodoo practice with revolutionary planning. Under Boukman's leadership, they swore to fight for freedom or die trying. Within days, rebels controlled the Northern Plain, the colony's richest region. Plantation houses burned, and particularly cruel masters met violent ends. This was a carefully organized insurrection demanding freedom itself. Among the leaders emerged Toussaint Louverture, a literate former coachman already free when revolution began. Born around 1743, his father taught him herbal medicine and leadership, while his position gave him mobility and access to his master's library. He taught himself French and Latin, studying military treatises and Enlightenment philosophy. Physically unimposing, short, wiry, pockmarked, he possessed extraordinary stamina, often riding 125 miles daily on little sleep. His personality combined stern discipline with personal modesty, simple dress, sparse eating, rigid self-control. When revolution began, the nearly 50-year-old Toussaint spent weeks contemplating before joining rebel forces in late 1791, quickly rising through organizational abilities and military insight. Toussaint excelled at diplomatic maneuvering among competing empires. When Britain invaded in 1793, yellow fever killed over 15,000 troops, forcing negotiations by 1798. Though officially France's representative, Toussaint pursued independent interests. When British General Maitland secretly offered alliance and kingship, Toussaint declined. Premature independence would unite European powers against him. He simultaneously negotiated with President John Adams, securing trade agreements for American goods and markets, understanding economic viability matched military strength. His toughest relationship was with Andre Rigaud, the mulatto leader controlling southern San Domingo. When civil war erupted in 1799, Toussaint defeated Rigaud militarily and politically, convincing French authorities that Rigaud threatened Republican principles. Through these maneuvers, Toussaint maintained singular focus, securing irreversible freedom while building a viable economy and state. By 1800, Toussaint controlled San Domingo and implemented a paradoxical vision, maintaining black freedom while restoring plantation agriculture. He created a cultivator system, workers legally free but bound to plantations, receiving one quarter of produce. Having internalized European economic thinking, he believed large-scale agriculture necessary for prosperity, yet remained absolutely committed to black freedom. Implementation required military discipline. Workers couldn't leave plantations without permission. Vagrants were forcibly returned to labor. These measures generated resentment among those who'd fought for freedom and now found themselves compelled to work the same land. Toussaint pursued broader transformation, establishing schools, promoting Catholicism while tolerating voodoo, welcoming back white planters who accepted the new order. His 1801 constitution nominally acknowledged French sovereignty while effectively establishing autonomy under his lifetime governorship. It abolished slavery forever and guaranteed equal rights regardless of color, yet imposed strict labor regulations and centralized power in Toussaint's hands. Napoleon Bonaparte's rise threatened Toussaint's diplomacy. The first consul, representing French bourgeoisie dependent on colonial slavery, dispatched General Leclerc with over 20,000 troops in December 1801, France's largest overseas expedition. Their orders were duplicitous: publicly acknowledge black freedom while secretly planning slavery's restoration. When Leclerc arrived in February 1802, he found ports blocked and cities ablaze. Henri Christophe torched the capital, vowing mountain resistance. After fierce fighting, Toussaint agreed to terms, believing he could preserve essential gains. This proved fatal. He was captured at a supposed peace conference in June 1802. Shipped to France, he died in Fort de Joux in April 1803 from cold and neglect. His final words proved prophetic. "In overthrowing me, you have cut down in San Domingo only the trunk of the Tree of Liberty. It will spring up again from the roots, for they are numerous and deep." When Leclerc began disarming blacks and restoring slavery, resistance exploded. Yellow fever decimated French forces. Under Dessalines, the revolutionaries triumphed. On January 1, 1804, Haiti became the world's first black republic. The Haitian Revolution's impact rippled across the Americas, forcing confrontation between Enlightenment ideals and slavery's brutal reality. For enslaved people, Haiti became living proof that freedom could be seized, not granted. Stories of Toussaint and Dessalines spread through slave quarters from Jamaica to Virginia, inspiring resistance while terrifying plantation owners. Napoleon's defeat led directly to the Louisiana Purchase, doubling American territory. For anti-colonial movements, Haiti offered both inspiration and a cautionary tale, demonstrating that resistance could topple empires while illustrating challenges facing newly independent nations in hostile systems. C.L.R. James wrote The Black Jacobins in 1938 as fascism spread and anti-colonial movements stirred, explicitly connecting Haiti's struggle to contemporary liberation. His nuanced portrayal celebrates Toussaint's achievements while critiquing his failure to trust the revolutionary masses. By attempting to rebuild the plantation economy and reconcile with former owners, Toussaint alienated those who'd fought for freedom. James challenges Eurocentric narratives, showing how enslaved people seized freedom through their own agency. This story reminds us that freedom must be fought for, that revolutions contain both triumph and tragedy, and that history is made through collective action of ordinary people demanding justice.